Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
So I'm starting my series on One Member, One Soul with the topic, Understanding the Great Commission. Understanding the Great Commission. Understanding the Great Commission. Close your eyes and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're about to speak to us on. We are open for any instruction and any direction of your word. Let your name alone be glorified. And let your words that come out of my mouth be your words and not my words. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your people and let them come to great understanding of what you can do with their lives if they yield it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Understanding the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the popular name that you not find the Great Commission in the Bible. There is no place in the Bible that you can find Great Commission. But it's a coined name. It's a coined name that theologians have given to the last command that Jesus gave to the church. In Matthew chapter 28, let's say from 18 to 20. The Bible said, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And this is the Great Commission. And you see, it is said that the words of a dying man is the most important word of his life. That is why people have to write will. And those who don't write will use what they said on their last moment. Okay, so when somebody is going to die, it's the most important. So outside the country, or even here sometimes, when someone is on ventilator and they know that the person will die, they gather all the family around. That's what happened to Jacob. You gather them, and because his words are, the last words are actually going to be the only or the most important thing you remember him for. So some of you, you'll be shocked that the day your parents die, you'll find a document in their things and they'll say, cremate my body. Cremate me. Don't do funeral. Don't do this. Don't take my body here. Don't. And you see that the whole family will say, okay, let's obey it because this was his last wish. If you want to ask what was the last wish of Jesus, this was it, the Great Commission. That is the last wish of Jesus. And this is why the church has the mandate to reach out to win souls. Because we are moving with what Jesus has said, that we should go ye therefore. The church must be a go ye therefore. We have to be going. You are supposed to be moving out from your comfort zone. You are supposed to be reaching out, not just reaching in, but reaching out. And this month, we are going to trust God that you are going to be a member who is going to win a soul for the church of the Lord. Your amen must be strong. You are going to win a soul for the church of the Lord. The utmost interest of God in our lives is not to put money in our pocket. Neither is it to give us a new car. But the utmost interest of God in our lives is to win the souls of men, the salvation of our soul. Because when we gain the whole world and we lose our soul, we actually lost everything. When you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, you've lost everything. It's like you beautify your body, but you lost your heart. That's how people pass on. They may look good. They may were here a few weeks or so. A beautiful doctor just died. Beautiful. But something within goes off. So everything about the person is useless because what is in has gone off. What is actually giving the beauty is off. So it's just a matter of time. The beauty you see will decay away. That is what the Bible is saying. If you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, you are useless. You are a waste. There is nothing about you that is important to eternity, because what gives you life is not there. The interest of God is to make sure that the souls of men are saved. That is the utmost. And it should be. Look at John chapter 3 verse 16. They're very popular. If you don't look at it, you can't even quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever needed a car, no. Needed a shoe, no. Needed money, no. No, whosoever believeth on him. So this life you are living is about faith. Believeth on him. Yes. To believe something is to accept something without facts. That's why if you want to be an atheist, you can be an atheist. If you want to be very logical and argue out salvation and say, salvation doesn't make sense. Why should God die for me if he loves me? Why should he allow his son to die? It's logical. It's a carnal logical reasoning. It's because to believe, that word believe you are seeing there, it means that to accept something without facts. But this gospel we are even talking about, the fact is there. I have entered the tomb of Jesus before. I entered, I have the video, I have the pictures. When you enter the tomb, it is as if there's a fresh body still there. I've seen where Jesus walked. I've seen the Mount of Transfiguration. Yes, I've seen the birthplace of Mary. I've seen the pool of Bethesda. I've seen Golgotha. The same picture then is still there. Even this gospel has facts. And listen to me, every now and then people are going to hell. If you're a human being and you don't believe in Jesus for whatever reason, when you die without negotiation, you are going to hell. When you get there, argue with God and let's see. You will go to hell. Because there are two places, heaven and hell. And why should we allow loved ones around us to die on the road, to die natural death, to die by accident, whatever, and go to hell? The way you are suffering in Ghana today, you want to go and suffer in hell? No. At least, when you die, you must enter into a mansion. When you die, you deserve a protocol welcome. Because every believer, when you pass on, you don't actually cease to exist. Every human being, for that matter, we don't cease to exist. We live on. We live on. When you go to hell, you'll be alive. You will know what is happening. You will know what is... One day, I was by a traditional ruler who was going to die. I was privileged to be by him. And I'm trying to choose my words well so that you don't track me. I was privileged to be by him, and he was about to die. Then he said, "My son, can you go out of the room? Because I have to do something. And when I finish, I'll make a sound, then you come back." So I went out, he did it, and I came back. Then he said, "Tell the nurses to call my nephew for me." So when the nephew came, they left them alone in the room. And something took place. What he threw up, the boy must walk it. So when the boy went, and then he said they should call me. So when I went, then he said, "I am ready to die." And I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I left what I must leave behind." Listen. When you are about to transit, and when we are talking, it's like, it's not our time yet. I don't want anybody to die. In fact, I want to live with you for a long time. And you are not dying now. Tell somebody you are not dying now. Oh, tell that person you are not dying now. And add that death is a reality. Tell that person death is a reality. Yeah, it's appointed unto man once to die. Yesterday we heard Mr. Igbo passed on. It pained so much. He's gone. All his jokes, his comedy and all that is gone. And life is funny. The day somebody is celebrating, the day somebody is dying. And this is why we don't have all the time. Somebody is close to you. Maybe tomorrow the person is passing on. You don't know. And as I'm talking about unsaved, so you yourself that you say you are saved, make sure. Make sure. The last time I was in the midst of two senior pastors, I've even left my note. That is the disadvantage and advantage of the lapel. You can't be shouting, you'll be talking. But it's nice. It makes you, you don't get tired early. It's very nice to preach. Like by now I'm screaming. I was with some senior pastors. And the subject of salvation came up. Serious discussions. Very serious. And we all concluded that it is not just about saying, I've given my life to Christ. It's deeper. It's deeper. And let me show you the deepness. If you say you are saved, and you are naturally sinning, you are fornicating, you are staying with your concubine, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, it's like you love to sin and you don't think it's anything. I am doubting your salvation. Senior pastors, we were quoting scriptures. One said, "For one saved, forever saved." Then the scriptures, I don't want to go there because I'll be teaching it later. Today, I'm telling you the understanding the great commission is beyond. That's why when you save a soul, you must make sure that the person is, you must be planted in the church. Because in the church, you are checked. You are checked. You are corrected. You are watched. There's accountability. And those of you, when somebody holds you accountable, you run away from church. I don't know whether you know what it means to be part of a community of believers. When you win a soul, it's not the end. The soul can be lost again. Yes. So if you say you are born again and the Spirit of the Lord, yes, a Christian is not perfect. But I fear those who are always saying the Christian is not perfect. Their life is questionable. You have a desire not to be perfect. There's a problem. Are you here? You have a desire not to be perfect. You stumble and fall. Stumbling and falling is different from laying down and sleeping. Am I talking to someone? There's two different things. I'm going somewhere and I stumble and I fall. I get up and I go. Not that, hey, I've now laid the bed for me, but not so air conditioned, 16 degrees. I mean, it's different. The two of them, I felt like I lay prostrate. But one was a stumble. And because I know I'm going somewhere, I quickly get up and keep going. That is the saved life. Eternal life is not in heaven. The day you become born again, the life you are living is eternal. Are you here? The day you become born again, the life you are supposed to live is not the kind of life your uncles are living in your hometown. Your life changes. Your lifestyle changes. Your language changes. The words you are using must change. Your appetite must change. Your interest must change. You cannot exchange Manchester versus Chelsea for a church service and then you say you are a Christian. I doubt whether you have encountered this love of the Father. The love of the Father is strong. Anyone that encounters the love of the Father, we will see it in your life. And this is what we must be aware. He said, give us the 19 and look at it. Matthew 28:19. Quickly. He said, go ye therefore, give me a short version, maybe NLT, quickly. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. So the process of making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. He said, teach these new disciples. Look, if you are not taught certain things, if you are not taught that you should never lie to your pastor, you'll be lying to your pastor and be deceiving. You think that your pastor is like your elder brother, or your pastor is like your uncle, and the consequence is heavier. If you are not taught as a Christian not to shout at your parents, you'll be doing it because in your community, your hometown, your friendship wood, your neighborhood, it's normal for a girl to stand somewhere and insult the father. We are supposed to teach you to obey. That is a strong word. The church is not a fanfare place. The church is not like, I'm coming to church and nobody should talk about my matter. We will talk if you expose your breast. We will tell you that dress well. Because we have to teach you how to dress as a Christian. We have to. If we don't teach you, where will you learn it? At your company? It's your company that you went to learn all those things from. We have to teach you. That is why nobody prospers with the word without humility. Because you have to be taught to obey. And that puts the gospel in a very combat mood. It's a combat. It's a military camp. You see, it's only the military camp that you are taught to obey without explanation. Later, you will understand what you were taught to do. But you have to obey without much explanation. So he said, teach these new disciples. And look, it doesn't matter how long somebody is in church, he can still be a new disciple. Onimshe, there are people in church 20 years. Okay, come and win my soul. Georgina, come and win my soul. Okay. Pastor Adel, why did you look at me? Is it because I'm in red? Yes, you're in red. You're looking beautiful. So I said, come and win my soul. There's scriptures to start from. What are you going to tell the person? Oh, come to church. Just follow me. I say, win my soul. Oh, pastor, come to church. When you come to church, my pastor will preach to you. That's what you're going to say. He said, teach these new disciples to obey all commandments. Have you checked the commandments that Jesus gave to his disciples? They are serious. Pray without ceasing. A lot of, if I want to go there. And you see, when you look at, he tells them, go to that town. You see a donkey. Tell the owner, the master is in need of it. Did you see the disciple asking Jesus, do you know the master? Like, Jesus is bullying. That is why your pastor can call you. Maybe you brought a very nice car. The pastor will say, bring the car. I want to use for 6 months. You must say yes. And bring it. Because maybe the demon in your father's house has located you and your fire is not strong as mine. If they come and meet me, they will go and they will never come back. So after the 6 months period, the plot to kill you will be over and I'll bring you your car. But you will join FM stations with some foolish journalists to insult pastors that Jesus has commanded to teach new disciples. And you call, you insult, hey, Jesus Christ. How do we win the world? We join to insult the church. The Great Commission is bigger than we think. That is why sometimes we take offerings in the church to do a lot of things. The Great Commission is bigger than you think. Eh? The church must be just saving. How do we save a soul? Do you know how we save a soul? Assuming I'm a poor person, I'm doing prostitution because I am using it to pay fees, take care of my family, and sorting myself out. And that is the life. Like when I give to my mother, she will say, God bless you, but she knows what I'm doing. Then you come and witness to me about Jesus. Francis, you come and say, what you are doing is a sin. God loves you, but doesn't love what you are doing. But that message is also a problem. It's a big problem. You see, we have to do a lot of Bible study to really get the church saved. Because the way we are preaching, that is why people, young men cannot marry, because they don't trust the girls, and the girls too don't trust the boys, and fornication and adultery and all that is going on. Yeah. We have a problem. The Bible said God accepted Abel and his offering, and God rejected Cain and his offering. So the offering, the act of Cain, how he gave the offering, the type of offering he gave to God, because of that, God rejected not only the offering, but Cain also. So the offering you even give in church, if it's from a wrong source, no matter how big it is, no matter how the pastor claps for you, no matter how the church saw that you brought $1 million to finish the building, if it's from a crook way. Many pastors won't say this because they need the money. But I will say, because I know God is going to bless you genuinely, and you are going to give genuinely. If it's dirty money, if it's blood money, God has rejected you long time ago in Bethlehem, maybe in Nazareth or Babylon. Your offering, see, can I say, if your boyfriend is sleeping in the room right now and gave you money to go to church because you like going to church, you are not a Christian, but you like going to church. You are not a Christian. You are religious. Opa, sorry, because yesterday night he featured. This morning he featured. This afternoon he will feature. Before you come and board the bus, you are featured well, well. And when you come back, you will feature. Is that Christos? No. I said that day, when we were arguing, I was like, I had to go for all my salvation books and sit down and study it again. Because if this is how the gospel is, we are in trouble. I was talking to a chartered accountant during the week. And whilst we were talking, we made a certain comment that I felt ashamed of. Do you know that most of you don't trust Christians? Hello, hello. Most of you don't trust. Bless, be truthful. You don't trust Christians because many of us think that God is merciful. Pastor Akacha said, if you are saved, God loves you, God will protect you, the mercy of God will speak for you. So Christians, you can give them money and they'll run away with your money. Then whilst we were talking, he asked me, Pastor, you have not made any comment. I said, yes. What you are saying is concurrent to what I feel. I trust Muslims more than Christians. Then he got up and said, you are like me. What is the problem? The problem is that we didn't receive the gospel well. We didn't. You see, you are quiet. And most of you, your trustees are unbelievers. Because Christians, we have left the Great Commission just for, I give my life to Christ. That is why it's dangerous for you. As for those saying, me, Jesus is in my heart. I don't go to church. I don't do that church. No problem. On your way to hell, you see that there's a name that everyone will bow. You will bow to it before you go to hell. Because if you love Jesus, you will love his church. And his church is not a perfect church. It's run by human beings. There are two churches. The church of the eternal Christ, which is not sin, the universal church. And that church is very perfect. But the church that you see, Methodist, ICGC, Action Chapel, Lighthouse, Catholic Church, Anglican Church, is run by human beings. And human beings are not perfect beings like you, like your family. Your family is not perfect. Your brother is a drug addict. Your brother is a drunkard. Your sister has 3 children with 3 different men. But still, you love her. Why do you hate the church? Why do you say that? Me, I don't love church because church people are wicked. We all know. At least the level of wickedness in the church is better than the level of wickedness in your hometown. That is why you don't like going to your hometown. Oh, Pastor, go back to your notes. The level of wickedness in the church is better than the level. Some of you don't remember the last time you went to your hometown. Even when you see a call coming from your hometown, you cut it. Salvation is deeper. Salvation is real. And if you are not saved, you are not saved. There is nothing like, I will be saved. If you are not saved, you are not saved. Amen. Process of salvation, justification, sanctification, and glorification. We are saved. We are being saved. And we will be saved. I bring you this word for you to understand the Great Commission. It's deeper. So if you are privileged to be a church worker, you have a greater opportunity to be grounded in your faith. We as believers, I think I was saved. I don't know when I was saved. I'm trying to calculate. I was saved maybe, I remember, because I used to give my life to Christ many times. Like you people, some of you, if I say, give your life to Christ now, you will lift your hands, but you are in a choir. You will still say it passionately. Do you know why you say it? Because you are sinning heavily. So you are doubting your salvation. But what you should do is to commit, rededicate your life to the Lord and get back to Him and eschew evil. Because Jesus came to save us from our sins. That is Emmanuel, and that is Savior. That's Messiah. He saved us first before He gave us suit. Hello? So don't be deceiving yourself. I am saved. I am saved. And you are still, you can't miss Christianity and occult. You are here. You have beads on your waist. That is from a shrine to capture a man. You have a mark. You have some thread. You have something. You have some stone in your wallet that they give you, that when you are going out, just talk to it. Asu, asu, asu. But you are sorry them with this anointing, and you are still having a stone in your pocket. We must go to heaven. Tell somebody we must go to heaven. And we must go well. Yeah. Don't just go to heaven. Go to heaven well. Land in heaven with glory. Can you imagine the day Billy Graham got to heaven? How many souls are in the kingdom because of you? Even in this church. Every saved soul must give birth to another saved soul. You can't go to heaven alone. That day, you'll be shocked. I suspect that people who go to heaven alone, they will let them stand by the road, and you see that we'll be passing. Yeah. Heaven is real. Who has seen a vision of heaven before? Let me see. Lift your hands if you have seen heaven. I've seen. Yeah, it's real. If you want to see, should I pray for you to see? Are you sure? You want to see. Not that you are dying. Oh. Hey, Pastor, I'm going to call my baby, man. I'm going to call amen. But I believe that heaven is so real. And Christians must live the Christian life well. Else we will be shocked. I wish I brought those scriptures. It was scary. So I told them, man, initially I was trying to speak for those who say, once saved, forever saved, eternal security. But whilst we were talking and the scriptures were coming, I realized that, yes, nobody can snatch you from the hands of Christ when you are saved. No. But you, in your continuous sinning, deliberate, continuous. It's like there's no difference between you and the unbeliever. My brother, my sister, you are not saved. It's like they are now still no difference. In fact, you have even increased because you heard that God has forgiven you your sins before, now, and the one to come. So you are using the blood. It's like, yeah, you should be. One day I was praying. You see, they say you shouldn't follow God with encounters, but I've realized that in Christian walk, the more you have encounters with the Holy Spirit and the Word of the Lord, the more you become a stronger Christian. And there are things, you can say there's no Holy Spirit, but me, I can't say it. Because He comes to me. He speaks to me. He teaches me. He took away my stammering tongue and gave me an eloquent tongue. The Holy Spirit is real. He can come in the form. You will be in the room and you know that another person has come. Yes. One day I was waiting on God in an akazo, one of the rooms. I think on the fourth day, I went there with Adam, but he was in another room. I was lying down. I'm showing you that. Don't let anybody, and don't think that you are bigger than the Church of Christ. Yeah. You are a nobody. What makes you a somebody is the price of the blood that Christ put on you. I thought you are clapping. You are a nobody. Gone were the days where most pastors were not educated. But now you make the biggest mistakes to think that pastors are some poor people who are lazy, who don't know what to do. Who told you? Who told you? Who told you? Because of your first degree. Who told you? Because of your master's. Who told you? We don't have anything to do. You have to see our schedules. I was there. I have 10 minutes more. Just lying on the bed, looking towards the door. Asleep. I went off, came back. So my eyes were open. And then I saw a sword. And Billy Graham showed up. And showed me a book. I've said it before. I'm saying it again. We say it over and over again so that you don't forget. He showed me a book. And the title of the book was The Deception of the Anointed. Then he told me that I should go and look for it. I've never seen that book before. When I came out, I called a friend in the U.S. and I mentioned the name. He said, what's the attach? I don't know. It's The Deception of the Anointing. When he cataloged it, he saw the book. When you read a book, Eddie, you'll be afraid to miss heaven. You'll be afraid. If even you're a good singer, you can sing yourself to hell. Because the gift of singing, God just gives to you, not because you are special. Every human being has a gift from God, the Creator. Nobody buys gifts. You don't buy it. It's either corrupted to suit a certain audience. But every human being God creates, He gives you a gift. That's why we all have strength and we all have weaknesses. But the gift to sing or to preach, I can be preaching and go to hell. Because Matthew chapter 7, give us that verse. I'm preaching. That's why I said what? Understanding the Great Commission. You have to understand. The fact that you are ushering people in church doesn't mean that God is coming for you. Because signboards don't go and eat at the restaurant. It will direct you to the restaurant to go and eat. But Signboards, never. So you could be a signboard. You could be the reason. Maybe you sang powerfully. You play the organ, you play the drums, and that's why somebody came to church. But you yourself, you never be a partaker. Yes. The last time a friend told me, have you seen this person? His sponsors are occult people. I said, hey, sir. So understand the Great Commission. Jesus did not save you just for you to be mystical. The church is not powerful. Go to where it's, but just go. If God opens your eyes one day into the scriptures, you'll be humble. Because the Bible said, not everyone that saith unto me, this is the part that those who preach too much of eternal security, they don't like reading. Because it's very clear, Mr. Jones. It's very clear that this salvation we have received, we have to hold it well. Like you are playing with it. Oh, God will forgive. Forgive me now. In the name of, I receive forgiveness. Now. In the name of Jesus. I am cleansed. You are cleansed within 15 minutes. You go and make yourself dirty again. Then you come back. I'm cleansed. No guilt. No power of guilt. No wonder people are just dying prematurely. Marriages are not working. I'm not saying because of their sins, but there's something wrong with our salvation message. Maybe you have come to church and it's because you came first, you saw some girl. So you want to be in the church for a while. Then you grab the girl. You partake of her health. And then you leave her. This is the life you are living. You are going to hell. You are just on your way. Even if you are a chorister, you are an instrumentalist, a new chorister joins the choir, then you start targeting. Then you people are fighting. Because of that, organists won't play well, guitarists won't play well, because you went to meet each other in the person's house. They say, what are you? Oh, I was passing and I wanted to say, I'm passing. I'm going to say, you don't like the message. Understand the Great Commission. Nadia Moyeno. I was watching one prophet. Nowadays, I don't like mentioning names, but he's an authentic one. He preaches holiness than anybody I've heard. Preach holiness. Then he was preaching, said, one of you pastors, I've gotten a report from you. All this holiness I'm preaching, you are here, you are firing the girls, firing the choristers, firing this. Said, so, what is the Great Commission? Understand it. Don't just come to church. Don't just go to church. Don't just have some wicked mind. But because you are wearing an ICGC uniform, it doesn't mean that as I'm dressed, I'm going to heaven. There is something within that is more important than what we are wearing. Yeah. The same way you can have people in the church. You think that they are your members, but they are members of 3, 4, 5 prophets. Yeah, 3, 4, 5 pastors. 3, 4, 4. And you are like, what are you looking for? Me, I have only one spiritual leader. Just one. I don't need... It's laziness. It's laziness for you to have 2 pastors, 3 pastors, 4 pastors, 5 pastors. It's laziness. You need one. The rest of the thing you need is your Bible. A pastor and a Bible. You are through with your kingdom life. A pastor and a Bible. But pastor can invite people to church because they come and input diversity of the ministry under the pastor's leadership. Church, we have a lot to do as a church to win more souls. Let's get serious. Let's get grounded. Let's get committed. Let's get focused. Because there is so much work to be done. Not for ICGC per se. But listen, if even it's for ICGC, look at the impact that this vision God gave to Dr. Tabel has brought to the world at large. Look at the transformation. Look at the things you used to believe. Some prophet used to chop your money until one day you heard Pastor Tabel preach. You're like, ooh, the guy has milked me. Zaludi barakataya. The guy has finished me. Hey, I can't be don't pay. Don't worry, they don't pay. God likes the don't pay. He'll put flesh on it. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap of praise. I am never against the prophetic ministry because I operate in it. Friday, I was operating in it. I love the prophetic. It's very nice. It makes you know that the paracletos is with you. It makes you know that there is life in Christ. But when all you are seeking is what is the Lord saying about me, you are becoming a witch. That is how witches behave. They fly in the night. They are trying to find out what is happening here. You are becoming a mysterious person. You are becoming a mystic. You are becoming you are almost like a talisman. Yeah, there are many Christians who are talismans. They want to see that. They want to know what is going to happen. Even the kinky they are going to eat, they have a prophet to call. And then make what kinky. Should I eat with egg or fish? Then they'll say, I don't think you should eat that fish because the one who sold it to you is a witch. Then don't go to the market again. Amen. Let's read this scripture and I'll end. I've left my notes. You let it be there. We have some Sundays to treat. It said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Continue. Many will say to me in that day. Why would they have the audacity to go and say to God? Why do you think they will have the audacity? Like, Oga, I can come to you and say, I gave you money to do something at the children's service area. But I have the guts. Yes. But I can come and say, Oga, long time. Why have you not finished the children's service? I don't have the moral right because I've not given you enough money to complete it. Please, are you here? Are you here? I'm giving you a clear understanding of this. Many will come to you and say, Lord, 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 have we not prophesied in your name? That means they have been prophesying. So you can be prophesying and still go to hell. I don't know how I'll argue it theologically. I have a master's in Christian ministry, but I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't. It is what it is. There. You can be prophesying and God does not know you. You know, if you are working in Coca-Cola, the owner of Coca-Cola doesn't know you. You are in Ghana, you are working for Coca-Cola. The owner, Onimo. He said, you can prophesy in my name. And I'll say, didn't we cast out demons? So having the ability, when you see somebody casting out demons, it doesn't mean per se that when you come and compare him to your pastor, you make the other pastors look useless because they cannot cast out demons. Did you call us? See, this year we don't go grieve for anybody. That kind of, they give pressure. If you are, don't let anybody intimidate you this year. Don't let people put you like, Omusike ina yakotichi omoyose prison, America, nenyama, nenyama. Don't let anybody make you feel like you have not achieved anything in life because you are still working and taking trotro at the age of 35. Don't be intimidated. Because at the end of the day, when you leave the earth, you go with nothing. Nothing. The prophesy, we cast out demons in your name. That means we were working for you. The last one was what? In your name, we have done wonders. Be careful. Don't let these things. Today, I was talking to Eddie. He was coming to church. He was talking to people on the road. And he came and asked him, why are you coming to church? Tell me. They said, I'm coming because of God. And I said, huh? So let God be the reason why you are in the kingdom. When you go to heaven, now, every being in heaven, their focus is on the throne. And this is the eternal life. Everything we are doing. For some of you, this message will take you very far. There are some resolutions you have to make. There are some friends you have to drop. There are people you have to give them a call. And say, the house I rented for you, I'm not coming there again. Take it. Call your family to come and stay with you. I'm not coming again. I want to go to heaven. You cannot take me to hell. I bind you in the name of Jesus. After you have finished enjoying, you are binding who? Verse 23. And then I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Give me a subversion. The Lord will keep us. The Lord will empower you. Yeah, you don't like this message. If I was motivating you by now, you are excited, you'll be writing. So this pastor can preach and feel inspired. No, I'm not here to do that. He said, but I will reply. Who? Jesus. I will reply. I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. Give me the amplified version. And then I will declare to them publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me. You are banished from my presence. So when you are banished from the presence of God, where are you going? You who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. When you disregard God's command, you are wicked than the armed robber. Yeah. So understand the Great Commission. God is interested in saving your soul. Don't go and do kululu and break through and come and disturb us. Don't. We are not impressed with your new week. We are not. Whatever you did to get a new week, we have not seen it. God has not seen it. Heaven, like, it doesn't change anything in the fabrication and the structure and the architectural structure and the atmosphere. What changes things in heaven is when the soul is warm and saved. I pray for you. And I pray for us that the Lord will keep us in the path of righteousness all the days of our lives until we see the Lord descending in glory to take away his church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap of it. I want you to close your eyes wherever you are. If you are here, you've not given your life to Christ, I want to lead you to Christ. I want to introduce you to Christ. If you are here, you are not born again, I want you to close your eyes and lift your right hand. I want to pray with you. It's a month that we want to ground ourselves in salvation. Everyone is saved. If you are here, you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, I'll give you that opportunity. Lift your right hand and let's pray. Quickly, you are here. You want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Don't take it for granted. I see one person, I see two. Lift your hands and let's pray. I see three, I see four, I see five. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. I still want to give you the time. Some of you, as if you lift your hands, you don't want to lift your hands and let's pray. It's more important than if I ask, how many of you want a financial breakthrough? Father, I bring all this before you. I declare that, Lord, you will empower us to follow you, to love you. Forgive us of our sins as your children. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will cleanse us. You will bring us to the point of believing and following your words. I pray that none here will be lost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Charis Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Charis Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Charis. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you, and God richly bless you.